A new and now binding international treaty for the fisheries sectors across the globe will soon enter into force. The Port State Measures Agreement, or PSMA, includes Somalia, Cuba, the European Union, and other countries that make up a large percentage of worldwide fisheries exports and imports. PSMA is meant to make the sale of fishing products that are illegal and/or coming from unsustainable fishing practices much more difficult. Illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, or IUU, is responsible for annual catches of up to 26 million tons and costs the global economy up to $23 billion each year. But to explain more about the Port State Measures Agreement, Lori Curtis is a fisheries officer with FAO in Rome. Ms. Curtis, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
What is the Port State Measures Agreement?
Well, I can start by telling you the full name of the agreement, which helps to explain a little bit more. It's the Agreement on Port State Measures to Prevent, Deter, and Eliminate Illegal, Unreported, and Unregulated Fishing. So it's an obligation for those countries or regional economic integration organizations that become party to it to implement a minimum standard of port state measures. So this is things like inspections or requiring authorization for vessels to enter into port. And this is to basically try and block fish catches that have been caught under this sort of category of illegal, unreported, unregulated fishing from entering national and international markets. So it's basically seen as a way, a very cost-effective way, to just simply stop these catch from entering markets. And thus, you remove the incentive for these fishing vessels to continue to engage in IUU fishing.
Why is it necessary? How big is the problem?
IUU fishing, by its very nature, the fact that it's illegal, unreported, unregulated, is very difficult to calculate the extent of it. So it's a huge problem, but the thing is that it really is a large problem for legitimate fishers. They're the ones that are really losing the most because it's a loss for their income for illegal fishing. And the Port State Measures Agreement is seen as an important point because there are other means, of course, that go along with the Port State Measures Agreement to tackle illegal and reported unregulated fishing, such as making sure that you have vessel monitoring systems on your vessels, having fleet registries, observer programs, a number of measures. But one of the things is that those all involve trying to go after the vessels, which is very expensive. Not all of these systems are very cheap for countries that have limited resources. Where the Port State Measures Agreement, instead of chasing after vessels, you're waiting for them to come into port. And the more ports are closed to IUU fishing vessels, the less access to places they have to turn their fish into money, if you will, and it will become less and less profitable. So this is why the Port State Measures Agreement seems like such a powerful tool, because it's not only effective, but it's cost effective.
You mentioned this a bit, but how exactly will it work at the port level?
Okay, so what would happen is if I'm the port state, as we call it, the state that has the port that's under the agreement, if a vessel is going to come into an international vessel, sorry, I should clarify that this is for foreign vessels. If a vessel is going to want to use or enter my port, they would need to request authorization. Now, the port state will request certain information at that time when this vessel wants to enter the port. The port state might say, okay, we need information on your fishing licenses, where you've been fishing, a number of factors, the International Maritime Organization number, which is like an ID number, information on logbooks, this type of thing. And at that point, just this point of entering, the port state might say, this vessel is quite high risk for IUU fishing. So they have the choice then where they can choose to say, actually, it's not worth it. We're going to deny them entry into port. Or they may say that we will grant you entry, but that doesn't mean use of port. They can still inspect the vessel. So they may grant them entry into port and then do an inspection. If in any of the cases IUU fishing is suspected or found, they can deny the vessel use of the port as well. And this doesn't mean just for landing fish. It can be for refueling or anything like this, any of the uses. In these cases, they would actually report this information as well. So they might report it to the flag state. The vessel obviously is flying a flag of a country, so they might report it to that flag state, the regional fisheries management organization, a number of different relevant parties. These are things that states have the right and can do anyway. But obviously, by joining the Port State Measures Agreement, by becoming party, they have this obligation too.
For countries with fewer resources, are these measures realistic?
Well, first of all, I think, yeah, it is difficult. But like I said before, when you recognize that IUU fishing is a problem, you want to go for the most cost effective. So in that sense, maybe a developing country that lacks resources might choose to put more resources into their port stay measures rather than other, even though they're all in complement to each other. And I mean, the port stay measures can't act alone. You need to also be doing monitoring, control and surveillance. But when this agreement was negotiated, the member countries, they foresaw this. And so there's actually an article in the agreement. It's Article 21, and it's on the requirements for developing states. So recognizing that a developing state might not have the legal framework in place, the procedures in place, the human capacity, the article outlines that these countries should receive support either through FAO or other means that they will decide. But it could be in terms of technical support. And also it mentions setting up a fund to be able to support developing countries to better be able to implement the measures so that the burden doesn't fall disproportionately on developing states.
So what exactly is FAO's role?
Well, FAO has a number of roles. I mean, first of all, it's an agreement that was negotiated under Article 14 of the FAO Constitution. And the FAO Director General acts as the depository. So all of these instruments, the instruments of accession or ratification or approval, they're deposited with the FAO Director General. And that's how you become party to the agreement. Beyond that, FAO has been, for the past years, working to get countries to promote awareness, basically, among countries of the benefits of the Port State Measures Agreement in an attempt to also build capacity of countries to be able to implement this agreement. And what this has been over the past years has been a series of regional workshops involving member countries, regional fisheries management organizations, NGOs, and other relevant organizations. And because FAO receives a lot of ad hoc requests for assistance on this, you know, countries that are very interested to become party to the agreement but don't have the capacity or want to make sure that their legal framework is compatible with the provisions of the Port State Measures Agreement. In response to the ad hoc requests, FAO has developed a global umbrella program to include a number of issues that countries need assistance with, whether it's developing their legal framework, whether it's monitoring, control, surveillance, operations, inspections, things like this. Basically, FAO will be giving assistance to countries to build their capacity in a number of priority areas over the next years.
So how many countries have agreed to the treaty?
Well, so basically now is the big moment that everybody's been waiting for, because to enter into force, it was required that there would be 25 parties. Now we stand at 30 parties. Now this number, 30, it actually includes the European Union on behalf of its 28 member states.
So with 30 parties now involved at this point, is this a promising sign?
I think it's a very promising sign. These 30 parties actually represent more than 60% of global fish imports and more than 49% of global fish exports. And this is just the beginning, really. We anticipate that this momentum will continue to build and more countries will become party to the agreement.
Ms. Curtis, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.